Good afternoon and welcome everybody to the Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority February 21st board meeting. I appreciate everybody's attendance. Officially call the meeting to order. It's 11:30 this afternoon. If you'll join me, we'll start the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we start with approval agenda, I would like to welcome our newest commissioner, Randall Reitz. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Can you pronounce your last name for
Reitz.
Us? Reitz. Okay, very good. So we'll all get it right. Let me say it. Okay.
Let's get it right.
Perfect. As you know, Randall's joined us filling in where Rick Taggart had sat before on this commission, so we appreciate your attendance as well as anything you can bring to us from the city from time to time. So
we'll do.
Nice to have you here. Also joining us is Travis Boyd. We'll do a real quick roll call for members. We do anticipate Commissioner Schrader to show up. So, Commissioner Vlardy?
Here.
Commissioner Tuffley?
Yep.
Commissioner Marshall?
Here.
Commissioner Reitz?
Here.
And Chair Tom Benton's here as well. Cameron, if you could identify staff members that are here.
Yes, I can. So, in the room, we have Executive Director Angela Padalecki, Director of Operations Dylan Haberline, Director of Facilities, Ben Peck, Accounting Coordinator, Shayla Flesh, Director of Finance, Tyler Boyd, myself, Cameron Reese, Board Clerk, and also in the room, we have Brandon Benton, Airfield Operations Manager.
Very good. Thanks for joining us. Right. Nice to have you here. I see guests today. I'd like to recognize Colin Bible from Garber. Colin, nice to have you here. Brent Mather. Brent, thank you. Thank you for being here. Josie, hi. Nice to have you here as well. Jen Bowman. Jen, thank you for being here. Jeremy Lee, Jeremy's here as well. And I think Dan Reimer has joined us online. He's our counsel for the airport. So thank you all for your attendance as well as the guests that are here today. Do you have an agenda presented by our staff today? Staff, are there any changes to the agenda that's presented?
No.
Okay, very good. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented and before you.
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is commissioner comments. Anything for the good of the order? I would like to recognize Dylan's performance and your team for keeping the airport open last Wednesday when things were a little tough. I know you guys had a long day, so thank you for doing that. And I noticed we didn't have any diversions, so congrats.
Thank you. Big thank you to Ben, too, for keeping the front of the airport open and his team.
Hello.
Team member. Yep. We did work a lot, work around the clock. Thank you to Brandon. Chance was in here as well. He had a big hand in that as well, so thank you.
You don't often get those days, but for those of you that live out west, you know that the county did not have quite as much success in keeping the roadways clean as what you did here at the airport. So thanks to everybody's efforts. All right. Anything else from commissioners? Welcome, Thaddeus, for the record. Thaddeus Rangers has joined us. Citizen comments. Now's the opportunity for citizens to join us, and we do have one registered member of the audience, Stephen Lindsay.
Yes.
Join us. Why don't you come up to the podium, Stephen, and we'll hear your comments regarding hangar ground issues. Have a couple, 3 minutes, Steve.
Well, I have a photo here. We have a situation over at Fuqua Hangars, and we've been trying to address the problem. There's a pipe that was put in here, a drainage, and then there was drainage across the front. This is Fuqua Hangars, and it's deteriorating. The last time it was anything done to it was by the airport. They put a some kind of sealant on the end of it there, and so I've been trying to address the issue at the airport, but it keeps. Nobody knows whose responsibility it is. We're being told it's the tenants, and we're tenants are going, it's not ours, it's the airport's. I've done some research. I've looked through the city records, referenced the Fuqua Hangars or Fuqua Corporate, and there's no record of any building permit or any work permit allowed to dig up part of the airport. So, I mean, if it was a tenant doing that, I don't know if necessarily we'd be equipment without some approval somewhere, if we could locate that approval or find out who it was that actually did put that pipe in, then we can address the issue and move on. So I'm here to ask the board if, you know, we can get some help to find out who has the record of that that work that was done there and the drainage in front of the hangar.
Okay.
And I tried to find, well, of course, the tenants now, most of them are all dead. So there's nobody we can talk to. Some of the older tenants we talked to, some people go, well, no, it was the airport put a French drain in. And, well, okay, cool. Well, who do we talk to? Well, I don't know. So I've been around the airport. I've talked to Steve Wood, talked to Irwin, and talked, you know, quite a few people around that have been there longer than I have. I've owned the hangar for 2 years. It's presenting a hazard now. It presented a hazard last summer, too, as soft as it is. If we catch a tire on one of our airplanes in that muck, you're either going to damage the airplane, either have a ground strike, or you're going to, you know, mess up a landing gear and have to be towed out of it. So we've got to swing wide to get around it. So that means getting close to the other hangars as we're coming out. Kind of fun to do that in a jet or a Conquest or even my little single engine airplane. So my request is to have somebody look into it to find out. I'm sure somebody here at the airport has a record of it somewhere, because it's not in the city or the county that I can find.
Okay. Thank you, Steve, for raising those concerns. Staff, can we address this issue in a little more detail, maybe a written response back to Steve? Do we need to paint the area to show where tenant lines start and airport lines stop or something? Or as far as where this, whose responsibility that is? Or do you guys understand that pretty clearly?
Well, yeah, the tenants have, we take care of some of the area around our hangars that we have. We've done our resealing and sealing and filling in cracks and so on. And this is goes across part of that.
Okay.
And that's right next to Charlie Winnell, the taxi.
I know these guys are work hard on the issue, and you're part of John Labrum's group too, right?
You know? Well, John's a friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I own my own hangar in that group.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
John ended up buying the rest of them. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you've raised a good concern. Happy to address that. Given the extent of our agenda today, we'll probably move on, but just letting you know.
Well, that's fine. Okay. I just wanted to be able to present it. It's a hazard that needs to be looked at.
Okay. Thank you,
thank
Steve.
You.
Can just keep getting kicked.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other citizen comments for record?
Mr. Chairman, we have no other citizen comments.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. We do have a consent agenda item that we'll need approved. There are a few items on the consent agenda this afternoon. Our board meeting minutes from January 17th, the purchase of 3 new RF turnouts, retaining wall and twin T repairs and lease assignment from R&L and BJ Investments LLC to S2 LLC. Those documents were in your package and provided significant background. So first let me ask commissioners, is there any items on the consent agenda that need to be pulled for review? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Thank you for that. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Very good. Thanks, staff, for providing all the detail on those items on the consent agenda. Looks like a good plan of action. Our first item on action is resolution number 2023-003, appointing our budget officer and treasurer, which would be Travis Boyd, who's raised his hand to volunteer for that position.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Maybe
ready?
Not volunteer.
Yeah. Are you ready, willing, and able to serve in that capacity?
I am, sir.
All right, very good. I think that's about all we need, unless anybody else wants to ask Travis anything. If not, I'll entertain a motion for the resolution number 2023. If you'll please read that, that would be great for the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve resolution number 2023-003, appoint budget officer and treasurer.
Travis Boyd, is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. This is a roll call. Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Commissioner Tuffley?
Aye.
Chair votes approval as well. Motion carries. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Unanimous decision for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next item on our agenda is recommendation to award architect and engineering services. This is selecting Gensler to provide architectural and engineering services and authorize executive director to execute a 5-year agreement for such. Presenting that today will be Angela.
So excited to introduce Brett Mather and Josie. We put out a solicitation for an on-call architect. This is an important position at the airport, particularly given the bill entitlement funding that we have access to. So as commissioners will recall, we're slated to get just over $2 million per year over a 5-year period. That grant eligibility covers PFC eligibility, so that includes much of the terminal, and so it gives us an opportunity to address some of those improvements that are needed in the terminal as outlined in our airport development plan. That work really starts with an architect, and so the way that an architect is onboarded and procured is really important because you have to meet all those requirements. Happy to report that all those requirements were followed as part of the process. We're really excited about welcoming Gensler, or recommending Gensler and their team into the airport as we work on some overdue terminal work, like replacing our older loading bridges, things like that. But also as we look at really bringing to life those drawings you saw in the airport development plan to expand the terminal. Any questions?
Very good. Again, nice documentation in our packet with respect to Gensler's qualifications and the process by which we went through those. So thank you for being here. Appreciate your service to the airport. I'll entertain a motion for item number B, recommendation of an award of architect and engineering services.
I move to select Gensler to provide architect and engineering services and authorize the executive director to execute a 5-year agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, folks. All right. Kelly Trucking is item number C. It's a change order number one on AIP 72. And are we reading the dollar amount at $53.30 correctly?
Yes.
We are. Okay, very good.
So it's a busy agenda, as you guys. I've tried to warn you guys for the last couple of months that it was going to be a really busy spring. So the good news is we've got 8 items, but they fall in the 3 categories, and they'll kind of flow together, I think. And so hopefully that'll make them go quickly. So as a reminder, last August, we received an end-of-year grant for basically the total was $2.6 million, with the 90% of that is what the grant was for. That covered 4 items, as shown in that left chart. A proposed contractor fee for additional earthwork, the additional CA services to manage that earthwork because there's additional time, the program management fee to have my smiling face show up and curate this, and then finally a FAA reimbursable agreement. That final item, the FAA reimbursable agreement, has already been executed, check's been sent in, and the FAA is working on that work. So really it's these top 3 items. And so the total of those items is a little bit less than the grant. That took a little back and forth with both Kelly and Eden Hunt and us to try to fit that in and make it work. Believe it or not, it's not always easy to dial that in very specifically, even though it's a big site. Grades have to tie in and drainage structures have to work. And so a lot of work on Jeremy's team to kind of make all that optimized and work. But it fits within the grant. To summarize, go ahead and click if you would, Cameron. And so this is item C, D, E, and F, by the way, is a summary for this. So the first item is Kelly Trucking. It's 2 items, a C and a D. And so it's 2 amendments. So you're probably going to laugh at C because it's a decrease, an increase of $53.30. But we want to provide transparency about what we're doing here. So there was some work when we received this end of year grant, we took that as an opportunity to kind of reprioritize where some of the lines were drawn to better optimize the work. We shifted a little bit of that earthwork around within AIP 72. We were able to balance that pretty well. But we didn't want to just do it in a vacuum and create confusion later. We did pull out a little bit of that work and shift it over into work that was a little more efficient. So that's what item C is a small change there. It also reduced some drainage structures that we were able to get rid of from that work by adding this extra work. And then finally, AIP 76 is for the bulk of just the real addition that we were able to gain from this. And so, as you can see, it's pretty sizable. It's a total of 1.728. There's some nuance in where that is. Honestly, that's as much for us as anybody else. It's specific areas of the job where we're pulling some earthwork and adding it. But that's C and D in a nutshell. So how you guys would like to run this is up to you. We can vote on these, or I can go all the way through with C through E and then vote it.
I think we can consolidate those since they're all relatively associated with the same focus here.
Perfect. Any questions on the actual scope of work?
It's sitting before us so nicely.
What's the next slide?
Next one.
Yeah, C and D. I think, and then I think it picks back up on E.
I think we'll just take a couple moments and look at each one of those.
Okay.
If just so commissioners are familiar with what the items look like on our agenda, everybody has their agenda and access on the computer, but. You pretty well define the scope of what these are and who the players are associated with it. And negotiating it with the dollars amount that we had left over. And the FAA is on board.
They are.
For all these. Okay.
They are. And one other thing I should have mentioned, if you notice as you look through this, I just mentioned this was for AIP 77, and you'll notice that change orders for AIP 72 and 76. That's mechanics behind the scene. We've been really clear with the FAA, and they agree. It's just contractually that was the best way to name those and fund it. The money's reimbursed for 77, though.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
And then our portion's about 200 and some odd $1,000
for
this. Okay. Commissioners, questions, or would you prefer we deal with these one-on-one? Is everybody okay with dealing with all four of them in the same motion?
I am.
Okay. That is okay. Very good. So, questions of Colin. I think Colin's done a pretty good job of keeping us up to date and aware of what's coming our way, so these aren't surprises.
I'd have an E slide and an F slide if you want those first before you vote.
Okay, let's go ahead with those two as well.
Just so.
There's our portion 262-035-33.
We flip a little further again. And we're going backwards.
Yeah.
It's
great.
It's fun. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's why he was going backwards.
That's weird.
It's Groundhog Day for the computer.
It is. So E is the lead hunt associated work. Not a lot here. It was just a new task order to cover the additional days. I'm happy to answer any questions, though. And then F is just us. Just here's a breakdown for it, though.
Okay.
Okay. Additional questions for Colin? So if a commissioner is willing to make a recommendation, I think the easiest way to do this would be to cite item C, read that five-worded one, D, same thing, and include those in your motion.
Mr. Chairman, would you like individual motions for each one of these items?
I'm okay if you want to lump them together. Or whichever way you'd like to go.
Dan, do you want me to read all of those words?
I don't think you have to read the subset.
Okay.
Each one, just the title.
Bear with me, everybody. I'm going to make a motion to approve action items C through F. C is Kelly Trucking, Inc., change order number 1 for AIP 72. D is Kelly Trucking, Inc., change order number 1 for AIP 76. Item E is Mead and Hunt Task Order 11 for runway 1230, relocation for fiscal year 22 grading and drainage support. F is Garver's Work Order Number 9 Amendment for services on runway grading and drainage construction coordinations for Schedules 4 and 5A.
Very good. Is there a second to Commissioner Marshall's motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Staff, thanks for providing significant detail on all four of those items. It was well documented, including the scope of the work and diagrams associated with it. So thank you. All right, item number G, Mead and Hunt Task Order 12.
This is also us. So I mentioned in AIP 77, we had the FAA reimbursable agreement. So we issued that to the FAA last August. We've been working on that with them the last 6 months or so. Well, there was a personnel change that the folks were working with. They decided they wanted a little bit more supplemental documentation for some instruction data. I don't have any scary news to report from that so far. I think everything's okay, but they asked for a little bit more supplemental data. And so we worked with Mike at the FAA, our program manager, to basically see if we could shoehorn that request in and accommodate what they were asking for. And that's what this is in a nutshell. It's additional aeronautical instruction data. Basically, we're going to move an approach as part of that FAA reimbursable agreement. They just want to make sure that nothing's changed by doing that. I think it's a little bit of overkill personally, but it'll just go faster if we just give them what they want and let them do their checks. So having said all that, this is one that you haven't heard of, by the way, because we just heard of it 3 weeks ago. So that's why it sounds new. It's because it is new and they asked for it. We were able to work with the FAA. The mechanics are a little wonky, but we're able to make it fit under existing grants. So it's not going to use up future grant capacity. And so let's talk through this really high level. Mead and Hunt had two previous task orders, task order 7 and 8, which both had a component of work that our FAA partner felt was applicable. And so Jeremy felt that those services wouldn't be used, so he was able to squeeze those down and use that towards this $124,000 survey. So the first, that task order 7, that $35,400, that actually fits under a grant that's 100% reimbursable. So that part goes away, no match needed. The remainder, that task order 8, and the remainder of $64,000-ish, $63,000, is new, but it would be a grant amendment under the same grant as task order 8, which is AIP 75. That amount is a normal amount that the FAA would allow us to amend a grant without any issues. They're not worried about it. They think it fits pretty well. But long story short, what I'm asking for here is just authorization to approve this to keep them moving in the right direction. It would fit under any overage would fit under AIP 75. So it's a lot of words, and this is new, so feel free to ask questions if anything's not confusing here.
Will Mead and Hunt be doing this internally or subcontracting this new work out?
Subcontracted.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything to add there?
With folks that have done work here before?
Yes, it's the same firm that we've been working with from the master plan.
Okay.
Yeah, they just needed some extra data that the original survey didn't have.
So we don't have to re-educate anybody in the process. Okay. Mm-hmm. Additional questions? Entertain a motion to approve item G.
Chairman, I recommend approval of item G, Mead and Hunt Task Order number 12 for runway 12/30 relocation program, amending task order number 7 and number 8, and adding aeronautical obstruction survey scope.
Thank you, Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. We're on. to item H, our FAA agreement to transfer back our entitlement, which we knew was coming.
Yes, so I'll be brief on this. This is, if this feels weird, it's because you haven't seen something like this before. A couple of years ago, so back in 2021, as you'll recall, airports are still dealing with COVID aftermath, trying to plan, trying to figure things out. Our airport was in a unique position in that we were just well positioned to manage AIP projects. We knew what we wanted to do construction-wise, we knew what we wanted to do planning-wise. Our neighbors up Valley and Aspen were not in that exact same position. They just transitioned leadership, things like that. So their entitlement grants for AIP, you know, as a reminder, the AIP program typically has about $3.35 billion in it. Nationally, a portion of that is allocated in what's called entitlement grants, and that's based on passenger levels, and like the word implies, you are entitled to them. So every year, you have access to those funds. If you do not spend those funds in that year, your entitlements go into the big discretionary bucket, so the rest of that pie for the next year nationally. Our ADO works really hard to avoid that from happening in our district. We want to keep money here if we can. Aspen wasn't going to be able to use theirs, so the ADO helped us really accelerate $1 million worth of entitlements by transferring those entitlements from Aspen, so the Aspen Pickens County approved that transfer, much like you have this one before you. We lucked out in a number of ways. Not only did we get to do that project earlier than we had anticipated, for less money than we anticipated, just given rising costs, but it was also in a year where our airport match was covered. And so we were really excited about that acceleration. Now they're ready to do work, so we need to give them their money back.
And we don't have to give them their money back plus the inflationary rate that took place in the last couple years.
And they have to pay their 10% match.
Yeah. So the timing was really good when you folks hustled this transfer. So thank you for doing that.
And as a neighbor, we're glad that they're in a position to get working on the project. So.
Any other questions for Angel regarding this item? Entertain a motion to approve item H, the FAA grant agreement for transfer of entitlements.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. I will make a motion to approve FAA agreement for transfer of entitlements.
Thank you, Lindy.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. Next one is our CDOT Aeronautics Division grant resolution. This is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, nicely done. Angela, you want to fill us in on any other details?
Sure. So first, we don't have the formal agreement from the Secretary of State yet, so what you have is draft language in the packet to approve. We've done this before. We expect that this week, so we wanted to get this on your agenda now so that we can keep the projects on track. But this is really, this kind of sets up the next portion of the agenda, too, that Colin's going to present on the work that this will fund. But this is a discretionary grant. From CDOT, Division of Aeronautics. It's funded by the Aviation Fuel Tax, the largest grant that they're awarding to airports this year. They're awarding about $9 million in discretionary grants, so we're taking a big chunk of that. In case the numbers look a little bit confusing, that 4.47 actually represents the total project amount, not the grant amount. The grant amount is 4.03, I think. So I just want to be clear because some of the language looks confusing. Their grant agreements are written in a bit more confusing way, I think, than the AIP ones. But this grant does not require co-sponsorship approval, so your approval will authorize either me or Tom to sign the final grant agreement when it comes in.
This was the check presentation.
This was the check presentation, yep. So in the words of CDOT, they were comfortable with us putting this on a public meeting and that they're not going to get in trouble for getting ahead of their process because there's a lot of photographic evidence that this grant was awarded. So,
the governor was there.
Yep. So, and this grant will fund the 422 rehab specifically. You know that we bid that out as part of a bigger set of projects, but this is specifically for the runway 422 rehab, which is not eligible for federal funding.
Questions for Angela or Colin? Hats off to you guys because I know your original engineering estimate of this was $3 million something. he managed to shuffle the deck and get the additional dollar amount approved through CDOT. That was no small task, so thank you for doing that. And we're be looking forward to a smooth runway in 422 in not too distant future. So I think this is a resolution, so it'll be by roll call vote once we have the motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve resolution number 2023-004, CDOT Aeronautics Division grant number 23GJT-01.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none. Been moved and seconded. We'll call for a roll call vote. Commissioner Marshall?
Yes.
Commissioner Reitz?
Yes.
Commissioner Tupley?
Yes.
Commissioner Velarde?
Yes.
Commissioner Schrader?
Yes.
Chair votes in approval as well. Thank you. All right. Next item on our agenda is the formal approval of our Colorado State Infrastructure Bank loan agreement. Those documents also were in your package.
So this received final approval from the State Transportation Commission on Thursday, unanimous approval. So we are awaiting the final documents. Travis has been working with the finance folks at the state, so we don't have those final loan documents, but wanted to put this before you for approval so that we can sign them when they do come in. Provided they're consistent with the application that you approved back in November, those terms. Also want to remind commissioners that we were able to lock in a 3% rate, so despite them increasing those rates during this application process, our rate is locked in at 3%. So it's a 3% loan, 10-year term, no repayment penalty, no origination fees.
And this is an item we've had before us for a while. Should be fairly familiar. So entertain a motion for the approval of our Colorado State Infrastructure Bank loan agreement.
Chairman, I'd recommend approval of resolution number 2023-005, Colorado State Infrastructure Bank loan agreement.
Thank you, Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Elias. Further discussion, hearing none, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Velarde?
Yes.
Commissioner Tuffley?
Yes.
Commissioner Reitz?
Yes.
Commissioner Marshall?
Yes.
Chair votes in approval as well. All right, item carries. All right, next big item, spending some more money.
All right. Got those grants and loans. I'm using them. Three items, the next three are all related to parking, the runway 422 work, and we'll briefly talk about it, but the Charlie One Alpha work as well. Last month, we went out for bid for those three projects. It's technically four because there's an employee parking and a parking expansion project, but for our purposes, we lump those together. So runway 422 and parking lot both got pretty good bids. We'd hoped by combining them and working with our funding partners to allow us to do it that way, we'd get economy of scale, and I think we did for the two big projects. Charlie One Alpha, that was not the case. The bids that came in were more than double what our estimate was. It was very high, and it really communicated to us that the contractors that are doing that work didn't want to do that smaller work. And so our plan with that is to go back out and rebid to a different contractor pool and see if we can get a smaller outfit to come bid that work. Maybe it'll be more appetizing. So we've tabled that one for now, but just as a little context, what we're primarily bringing to you today is runway 422. So the summaries that you'll see and these action items are all related to those items. So this is a pretty complicated summary. It may actually make a little more sense as we dive through these. But at a high level, the bids came in, the total project cost. If I can draw your attention to that top table, far right side of the screen, there's a $7.764 million. And that is for both everything that's eligible under these two buckets of money. And then really the thing I want to draw your eye to next is the far right bottom corner that talks about the funding summary. So of those buckets, 2.922 is eligible for SIP, 4.023, that's the actual grant amount, is eligible for CDOT, which leaves a local share of $818,617. So it would be easy to wonder, why isn't that just a simple 10%? It's because CDOT let us add some additional items. What was eligible for runway 422 was some lighting work. We got to do some additional taxiway lighting. We got to update regulators, lots of small
On 422.
Yes, on 422, correct. And so it's not quite 90-10, but the portion that they signed up for was 90-10, if that makes sense. I mean, they let us add some items to expand our reach with that funding source. So high level, that's what it looks like. It's okay with you guys. I'll click through and it'll make it a little easier to digest so there's not four tables full of numbers to look at. So first up is the contractor's contract. So Kelly Trucking bid these three projects that were contributors to. Sorry?
United.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Kelly. United bid these three projects. Their total was $7.137 million. As I mentioned, we're recommending not to award the Charlie One Alpha award. But these prices were in line pretty closely with what our estimates were, within 10-ish percent of what we estimated. There were two bids, and we believe it's a good value for the airport to award these two. So that's this first item. We can again pause, or we can continue to the next one.
No, let's go ahead to the next one.
Okay. You click one more, then more?
Yeah.
Next up is our contract for the construction administration for runway 422 CA fee. This is just to manage that construction work and have on-site observation during that project. And there's a breakdown of the services. And the final item, if you click two more times, then will be the same thing, but for the parking lot work. There is some overlap, and we tried to build that into our cost, but it's the same kind of work, and so they're going to kind of bounce back and forth is how we laid out the construction schedule. So the actual number of days is similar, but it kind of spreads out like that, if that makes sense, you know, for each project. And if there are efficiencies gained because they do the work differently, there'll be cost savings realized too with less inspection time as well. But this is built to cover in the event that they do follow the perceived construction schedule that we think they have. So.
CAP administration, let's say.
CA is the basically the paperwork that we have to do, like all the submittals and the, you know, that kind of stuff. But there's an on-site president, RPR, that is hourly as needed. So there's opportunity for savings there. And same with materials testing. Third item down on the list.
Yep. Thank you.
Questions for Colin on items K, L, and M, all associated with the same work, although it's two different projects, employee parking as well as running. Could you go back to slide number 25, please? That's the picture of the runway. Colin, do I remember that in our mixed design for some of the work out here on the taxiway, that we got a little bit of an overlay on the taxiway for 422? Or where was that testing material put down?
We do, yes. We are, let's see that one point. So in previous projects, this is an older image, we were actually able to work our way maybe right past Charlie One Alpha. We're going to be able to continue on up, and we're going to get close to closing the gap.
I was thinking this is our opportunity, right, to finish up that taxiway with the test strips?
I mean, I hope not. I hope it goes right the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, Randall, what we're referring to is in the past for actually projects out here, mm-hmm. required to have these test strips before they can go put the pavement down to ensure that you're putting the pavement. And the requirements are very high, higher than actually the requirements for what gets put in place. So Colin, working with some members from our team, had this idea to put the test strips on taxiway Charlie because it's not eligible for federal funding. And so it made it so much better. And it just happened to be that November, remember the beginning of November was really rainy a few years ago?
Right.
That's when they were laying the test strips. And so they kept almost passing. They would have passed if it was the final construction, but they didn't pass the testing requirements. So we got a whole bunch of work out there, and we're going to add to it at least a little bit. That was Colin's comment that he hopes they just pass. I'm not sure that Tom shares that hope.
We're getting really close to that. So that's the real value-added piece that Garber's brought to us over the years.
That's amazing.
It's no longer quite as bumpy, so very good. Does everybody understand the scope we're looking? I think we could try to put these three together, K, L, and M. But I certainly want to stop and ask if there's any questions from commissioners before we move forward.
You're just talking K and L right now. Because I'd love to see the parking lots.
Okay.
Is it okay? Okay.
Do K and L.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve United Company's notice of board construction contract approval for the airfield pavement rehabilitation for runway 422 and terminal parking lot construction, as well as item L, Garber work order number one for runway 422 rehabilitation construction.
It's been moved for items K and L. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote for approval of items K and L for the United Company's notice of award and the Gardner work order number one. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about M.
Sure, it's very similar to L, just for the parking lot, similar services. This is, in a way, it overlaps with that L work, and there's an opportunity there as well, potentially, to underrun the on-site RPR and the materials testing, the second and third line. Both of those are as needed.
Awesome. So parking lot will be our Thanksgiving parking lot overfill. We'll get paved. And mm-hmm. then where's the employee parking going to go?
Near where the old admin building.
Right,
sort of upper right-hand side of that?
Right on.
There, is that correct?
Okay. As you guys drive up, you'll notice that Ben's team has been working hard in preparation for this over the last couple of years. There's actually a really beautiful walkway that goes up there. There's tons of new landscaping. So it's very nice.
So essentially, just by way of recapping, the $7.137 million associated with the United Company's bid will do the asphalt work.
Correct.
And what we're looking at here.
Yes.
Item M is the engineering oversight construction administration for
yes.
those.
That's correct.
How many additional parking spots? Sorry to be such a nerd.
No, you're okay. I should know this. I was as soon as this stopped
on the
slide, I was like, man.
You can put a pin in it. It's fine.
It was approximately 100 for the employee, and I want to say in the neighborhood of 340.
Right. So it gives us essentially close to an extra 300 spots versus what we have today. That overflow lot, it's really hard to say how many spots are in there, even though we put stops in there and things. It's messy, but it's also commingled with employee parking lots. We're taking the employees out and paving that lot, and the design is really optimized to squeeze as many spaces as you can in there without it feeling tight, right? Like, I don't know. I just think that's such an important quiet customer experience amenity at our airport, is that parking is easy, including the spaces are, you know, spacious, and you don't have to jump out of the car before your kid, like, swings the door into the car next to you. So it'll net add, I think it ended up being 250 something. But it's not, the arithmetic is just a little bit longer than just that addition because you're swapping employees out.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to make sure I point out, because we're talking about pavement and I don't want to mislead anyone, this has been the plan, but this is, you know, this is what we expect to be constructed. We are paving the overflow lot and we are building a gravel lot for employees. So their lot will remain the gravel lot. We've been working with the city on that. All the plans and permits are set up for that. But I just want to make sure that commissioners know that the employee lot will not be paved.
Is the timing such that when you do the milling on runway 422, you can use that milled material? Okay, great.
That's how we phase it.
Yeah.
Start there,
yeah.
Move to the employee lot, and give the employees a place to go while we're paving.
That gives you more than just a gravel lot mm-hmm. by doing that. So, good thinking. Additional questions on this item?
Will it be done in time for Thanksgiving? And then
yes.
That'll be my last. Okay.
Yes.
You're going to cover timelines for your report, right? On
yes.
projects?
Not a construction timeline, but we do plan to start in May. So, it'll be done by then.
Thank you. That's my last question.
Very good. That's good. That was a key question. Because that's our first overflow.
Yeah, it is.
We
and
can.
It's always
yeah.
full.
Yeah. So it's good. Entertain a motion for item number N. Commissioner Marshall, would you launch that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve item M, Garver Work Order Number 2 for terminal and employee parking lot construction.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Discussion item today is the pre-funding design for runway 1230.
So I don't have a slide for discussion item A, but this is a big item and it's going to come up when Angela's on maternity leave. So we wanted to basically brief everybody on it one last time. We've mentioned it in the past on the overall. So if we rewind really quickly, I feel like there's been multiple times that we've came to you guys over the last few years and we're like, hey, we think we've got a shot at some money. Will you pre-fund this thing? And you know, we'll cross our fingers to capture this end of your grant. This is our attempt to minimize that. So what we want to do with pre-funding, the next big thing of design, which is the pavement. We want to look all the way to the end of having paved out runway with lights and shoulders and all these things, and work with me and Hunt and the FAA and say, what exactly does this look like? We mostly know that there's some, you know, right now I think it has 9 connectors. We probably don't need 9 connectors. We need to know which ones are the right ones. We need to see which ones they'll buy off on and phone. We've done some of that work, but you know, 5 years ago at this point, and we need to make sure we have buy-in. And then we're going to build a roadmap to get to the end at a very high level, and then build the first package of work that we can bid. And so the idea is, as that money becomes available, there's always a next bite to take without coming back to this team and saying, hey, we need a multi-million dollar bite of the apple given, so pre-funded. You know, no promises that we'll never come back, but hopefully it's a smaller bite, and you know, that's what we're doing this, is to have more clear direction. So what will be coming to you with either maybe next month and potentially the month after, depending on all the paperwork in the background, is that. And so just so you're not surprised by it, because it's going to be a sizable chunk of money. But we have applied for a grant already for it. The FAA is on board with it. They know it's coming as well. So that's it. Just wanted to share that with you so you guys don't think I'm going rogue when Angela's gone.
Colin, you've done a nice job keeping us up to date. The 30% design, the 60% design. This is taking us from 60 to 100?
This is more of a, think of it as a, 60% design for the pavement itself, like that specific infrastructure.
The cross sections as you go all the way down.
That kind of thinking, yes. Okay. Like, and where, you know, I mean, you it'd be easy to think, I think, to look out there and go, well, they're building dirt work. They should know exactly where it goes. The dirt work that's going in, I mean, it's close, but, you know, it's not, FAA grading criteria is really strict, and you've got to be really dialed in. And this is to get, you know, very top of grade, very specifically set, but beyond that, you know, it's knowing what the cross sections are finalized. You know, it's high level finalization, but not in the weeds on every single thing, if that makes sense. So that's not a very good answer. It's not quite any normal delivery, but there's portions that will be very final, and there's portions that will still be open, but that's okay because we've got to build these bid packages to finalize them anyway, because we don't know how much money we'll have. Does that make sense?
Well, just give us maybe a little bit more scope here of your kind of thought process. Is this going to be our second to last design phase or third to last? And if so, is this 50% of the balance of monies we think it's going to take to do design?
I think that last thing is probably true, because we're going to have smaller bites that we can take care of now. But I would couch that with, if we capture the money at the rate that we believe we will, absolutely. Because, you know, in a perfect world, if we catch it over 2 more years after this, 3 more years at most, you know, it should be. But if it's spilled over longer, that's a repackaging effort every time. So I started with the last question you asked, but to zoom out a little bit more, how I think of this and how I try to talk about it is there's a big earthwork and site grading package that we're working on, and we've got a really clear path to the end of. Then there's this pavement and shoulder and lighting. Think of it as the runway corridor itself package. And then finally, after that work's done, and you know, basically 2 connectors on each end, well, that's a serviceable runway. then we move back over and retrofit the existing runway and convert that to a new taxiway. So there's one more big lift after this is done. So within that second box, which is what we're talking about, it's outlined, it's drawn the boundaries around that second box. And then everything else we're doing is kind of covering that in, in packages to make it fit. And so you're asking a pointed question, that's a good one, and I don't have a very great answer for it, like how to find any certain part is, because really what we really care about is nailing down the things that we're measuring towards, right? I mean, we don't want to just go out there as a next phase and build subgrade without knowing if this connector is going to stay or go. We don't want to, that's what we're really trying to define.
Okay.
More than anything else, that's what we need to have finality on, is where the limits are, what the final grade is, so we can really finalize pieces of work.
Okay. I'm guessing the FAA doesn't have a sale on high-speed connectors.
They're not a big fan.
Okay. Okay. The more pertinent question is, once this document is put together, does it have a useful life of 5, 7, 10 years?
I don't know that answer, but I mean, that's something we can look into, and I'll be prepared to talk to you before we bring you up.
Yeah, I think before we spend too much money, you want to make sure the FAA is going to be comfortable with it for a while.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and just zooming out, when it comes to the why for this, the big picture why is that big, huge element in the project. That's where we, in the nearer term, we have the most efficiencies to gain if we can construct that all at the same time. That is not currently the plan for the FAA. They're anticipating breaking that up into, FAA-sized bites, which adds a lot of cost to the project. It's less efficient operationally. And although you're still going to have a fine runway built, it's not ideal when you're paving. You want to be able to pave all at once. And so we want to position ourselves to where we can build this runway in the most efficient way possible, right? So right now, lacking that more refined design on the pavement so that we can bid that out, for example, as one package, attract, a much broader pool, too, of potential contractors, and have good pricing, that could open up the door, for the FAA to be able to see, oh wow, like the total size of that would be a lot smaller if we funded it all at once. And it also supports our efforts right now to pursue community directed spending as well. So up until last year in this program, the AIP program has felt sufficient to fund this. We've had plans, they've been able to fund it. Last year, as you'll recall, because pricing came in so high, not just for our projects, but just across the board, and FAA PI didn't increase in size, they were not able to award the same level of scope as what we had planned. It was about the same dollars, but it didn't go as far. And so we want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up to pursue every type of funding, and we really can't do that based on where we're at now with design. But paving the runway, it's this pillar in the program is how we describe it. We talked years ago about how there's certain moments where you want to be able to go fast in the project. And that's one of those moments where we want to be able to go fast. We want to set ourselves up to go fast. Pre-funding this design, when it comes to the mechanics on the funding side, I want to make sure that it's clear what the plan is for that, and FAA is on board with this. We're allowed to pre-fund work and get reimbursed with our entitlement grants in future years. And so when it comes to that cash flow and how long we may be cash flowing that, if they're not able to cover it with a discretionary grant in addition to the construction they have planned, we're talking a year or two, depending on the size. So again, we don't have a scope for you today. I don't know the exact cost, but I did want to zoom out and just talk about the why, because I think that's what balances the small risks we'd be taking here that we're talking about as well.
I appreciate recapping the why and the how of this. That's really questions for calling on the discussion.
You highlighted those community directed grants. Are those FAA as well?
No, so that is the new term for earmarks.
Oh, thank you. So got it. Thank you.
In terms of what?
Earmarks. So from the general fund. And that's something, we remain in close contact with our elected officials, particularly the senators on those topics. But that's where there's certain moments where we'd gain so much, including opening the runway early.
opening the runway early saves us money, almost no matter which way you slice it. If we open the runway early, the project costs less, but we also get to have the runway for life. And that's really why we're doing all of this.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You're thinking that's going to be March or April, when we might see. I'm sorry.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay.
We have a scale that's running through the process right now.
Okay.
So just there's a lot of things that have to happen in the background. I know this feels like a lot sometimes, but it's like months.
No, it just gives us something to look forward to. Kind of, understand, anticipate. So.
It's kind of like Cabo, but different.
All right, there's a story there. Very good.
All
right. Moving into our goals for 2023. Thank you for putting this together.
Yes. So sorry that the font is kind of small on the screen, but just wanted to go through briefly with commissioners how we did when it came to the goals we set that you all set this time in 2022, and talk about 2023 goals. As you know, we've kind of set up our goals as these objectives that don't change dramatically from year to year. They'll more evolve. And those are, you know, the five that you see there, and then some supporting goals behind them. This is really transparency with, you know, what staff is trying to achieve during the year to accomplish and make progress towards these objectives. As you can see, proud of the work that was done last year. We, you know, it's not all green. If it's ever all green, our goals and objectives were too weak, is my opinion. Stuff comes up, but really these are in prioritized order too. So putting Air Service back on the growth trajectory, I really think that we are in a great place when it comes to that. You know, as we talked about, this first quarter in 2023 is we see more capacity from the airlines than any first quarter since the pandemic. So huge progress there when it comes to some of our specific goals. We have not met those goals. The new use and lease agreements are with the airline legal teams. We expect them to be coming back signed at any point in time in the near future. You approved rate increases that are consistent with those, so that's substantially complete, but we don't have signed leases, so it's not done. That'll push into this year. We talked about establishing two new target destinations by 2023. I don't think that's realistic. That goal was set before we had the major crew meltdowns that we saw last year, and so that just really set us back, but I do think that's realistic goal for 2024, and we'll see that. We're still hoping that we could see a new destination out of this year, but we just don't know yet, and it, you know, 2023 certainly seems out of reach. We did not exceed budgeted 2022 employments for the year. Remember, that goal was set following Delta's exit from the market. United and American were not able to spool up capacity as fast as they wanted, but what we saw in the second half of the year is that goal was achieved. And as we rounded the corner into this new year, we're in good shape. So other things I wanted to highlight are that we finally have that long-term cash flow plan and forecast, which I think is very comforting and really supports the sustainability of the airport. Our projects really remained on schedule, you know, somewhat on budget. But the progress we wanted to make, I mean, the fact that we're, you know, you just approved contracts to expand the public parking lot, that is more ambitious than, that's more progress than we anticipated at this time last year. So things like that. Our employee engagement remains really high. We did have higher turnover last year than we've had in years past, but we still remained in relatively good shape compared to what we saw in the community. And our non-airline revenue budget, we saw non-airline revenues grow. I think Travis has some to report on this, so I don't want to steal his thunder. But we saw those grow despite passenger traffic being down. And so really proud of the progress we're making there. Again, non-airline revenue growth is important really for two main reasons, financial sustainability, but also it can be a direct reflection of customer satisfaction. Happy passengers spend money. Unhappy passengers do not spend money. So really proud of the progress we've made there. Does anyone have any questions on 2022 performance before we get into 2023? I know you've seen some of this already. Okay. So as we get into 2023, some of those goals that weren't quite done shift over. This is long because it, again, it's just giving you a window into what we're trying to accomplish as a staff. As you can imagine,
imagine an airport, there's like endless opportunities and problems, and so you need to have these North Stars to really help prioritize resources and time and what we're trying to achieve. It's especially important because we have some new leaders in our organization and want to make sure everyone is singing from the same sheet of music. So air service remains our top priority, air service growth. It really drives, funds much of what we do. It's also what impacts the community in the most immediate and direct way. But improving airport sustainability is important, and you see a lot of work outlined there. That shouldn't surprise you, because we did the airport development plan last year to really help prioritize and inform what we need to do. This is us doing that. And some of the things that you see are keeping the projects that you've approved on schedule, on budget. That's really important, as well as optimizing the schedule for that runway program. Us getting in a position to where we're finally doing the terminal work we're talking about doing, and positioning ourselves to start expanding the terminal. So really getting ahead there. Want to continue to increase employee engagement, something that's really important to our staff and important to leadership to execute as leadership development programs. So that has not, historically we have not had one of those, but it's so important to provide pipelines for ambitious employees to be able to pursue growth opportunities, even in a small organization like ours. What you see last is a slight tweak versus what that objective has been in years past. In years past, we've had maintain and grow community engagement. At first it was grow community engagement, then it was maintain and grow community engagement. Now we're finally in a position where I feel like we've made such progress with community engagement. The complement, and this is where there should be natural tension on the line, is maintaining high regulatory compliance while maintaining high community engagement, right? Because those could get out of whack really easily. If you're too focused on regulatory side and it just paralyzes you as an airport, the community doesn't get to interact with the airport. If you're too focused on the community engagement side, you can get a lot of trouble from a regulatory perspective, right? So if we let the air show committee just go wild, we'd be in big trouble with the FAA. Just kidding. No, but for that, I think I'm so proud that we're finally in that space where we get to manage that tension on the line, because that's right where we want to live. We want to do the most we can while keeping the airport safe from a regulatory perspective. Any questions or input? I will send these to you all. We want these to be living, breathing goals throughout the year. So last year, I think, was the first and only year you formally adopted goals. Talked with the executive committee about that. Ultimately, felt like it'd be best if this is something that we could just continue to revisit if needed throughout the year, but just to make sure that we're on the same page with what you'd like to see us achieve.
There's a lot of material here. Angela, you and your team have put together a very robust set of goals again. Appreciate that. There's a few of these that are kind of interesting that we may not have talked through much, and look forward to doing that this next year, like the RFI for initial hangar development. That's something that's kind of intriguing, I think, for our GA community and that focus that's there. So that's some really good things on here. Does anybody see anything as we're kind of looking at these that jumps up at them as out of bounds or a high priority maybe or something? I think out of bounds probably is a little bit.
Just in a reminder, remind me about the triennial full-scale emergency exercise. Were we going to host that during COVID, or did we host it?
So Dylan hosted his first triennial emergency exercise at our airport during the pandemic.
That's right.
And so we are due. The FAA requires, and as part of our Part 139 certification, that every 3 years we have a full-scale emergency exercise. It's pretty prescriptive, and it's pretty dark what you have to actually simulate to make sure that you're well prepared in the case of that more extreme incident. So
I think you invited some board members to be dummies out there, victims, I should say. But COVID kind of made that go away, right?
So yours online.
Well, no, it is weird to think that it's already been 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
That was one of the first things I was tasked with when I started here. We had to make a lot of abbreviations to the normal requirements because of COVID.
Right.
And the FAA worked with us pretty well on that. This time around, it'll be all systems go up.
We anticipate it will be in early May. I do, we also anticipate that Bill will be reaching out to board members for the type of involvement that makes sense based on what they have planned. But you they're planning an event where I won't be there. And that is a realistic possibility. Stuff happens, and I'm not here all the time. So I may be there as an observer, like with a baby, even just to watch. But I'm not going to be there as the airport director. So thanks for asking about that. Yeah, it's a big deal. And it's such a good exercise for our joint agency partners, too, because this scale of emergency is just something that they don't get a lot of practice in. So even when you talk about transport to the hospitals, things like that, it's amazing what all gets worked out. We have a new coroner, so that's a really important role in an emergency exercise, because what's modeled is a mass casualty event. So we have, you know, a new manager at West Star. Like, we're really looking forward to getting to complete this full scale exercise.
Great, thank you. Appreciate you covering those. Angela, anything else on goals?
Just a question. 5H, pursue grant funding for unfunded airport improvements. Is that all FAA? How does that work?
Yeah, so what that is intended to represent is, and you know, I had an expanded list but needed to truncate this, but what it really is just grant funding for those projects that we don't have grant funding for now, as grant funding opportunities pop up. So I'll give you an example. Right now, our baggage screening for TSA, it's two machines that sit behind the ticket counters, and so it's not very efficiently set up. It's a pretty old system, if you will. And it will limit our growth long term. We really need to consolidate that and have a consolidated bag room long term. That was identified in our airport development plan. We know that. That doesn't fit neatly into any of the grant. I mean, when it's pavement out there, it's like, it's just so simple. Like the FAA, AAP program is how you fund it. But those kind of projects are a little bit more nuanced, but there can be funding opportunities with the TSA. There's different pots of money that pop up. And then within BIL, there's $25 billion allocated to airports specifically, but there's a lot of other buckets that presumably airports could access. It's something that we've spoken on numerous occasions with Shoshana Liu about. She really has tremendous knowledge of what's in there and just navigating those channels. So that's what that's intended to represent, because when it comes to things that we know we need, but they're just not yet funded, that's a project that's an example. A cargo ramp is an example. And so if there was a state funding opportunity for that or some sort of national funding opportunity, that would be a good fit. We've talked a lot about alternative energy sources at the airport, electric vehicle charging, and electric aircraft charging, solar farms, those types of things. So that's what that's intended to represent, is that that is going to continue to be a priority, even though it's brutal. We don't love just applying for grants all the time. We don't have a grant writer, but it's worth it. We have to keep pushing for all that other stuff. The runway is important, but it's also important that the rest of the airport doesn't fall apart while we're building the runway. So.
Thank you for the clarification, Angela. Anything else on these items? Again, appreciate the attention to detail and expansive goals for the coming year. We'll move into staff reports. Angela, can we kick it off with you?
Yep. So first I wanted to echo your sentiments in welcoming Travis. He's been here almost a month, and I think we've thoroughly soaked him with the fire hose, so to speak. But he has been great and been a great addition to the team. I'm so happy to have him. I also wanted to just thank our team, our staff team, and our contractor team. This was a heavy agenda. And it was a ton of work to pull it all together. I'm really proud of the work that went into this, and we're so well set up for this spring. I wanted to thank commissioners for your support and engagement in letting us be ambitious in running the airport. So also wanted to thank the staff and the board for everything you did to support the governor's visit. So I think as Lindy mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, people wore lots of different hats. I mean, I think Colin and Travis ended up being like the main people escorting people in and out of the business, or building. I don't know if Chance is still in here, but Chance scrambled to get TSA on board with the governor's visit with about a week's notice, and they didn't have to threaten that someone from TSA could call the governor and tell him that he can't have this. So it was a team effort, and really thankful and proud. So the CDOT Aeronautics Director doesn't believe there's ever been a time where a governor's come to an airport to award a grant. So it really really was special. Wanted to give the board a brief update on house bills related to the airport, starting with that Airport Authority Act modernization. So as you know, that's something that a few years ago, commissioners in particular, then Commissioner McDaniel, worked hard to really say, how could we clean this up? How could we never have a ball joint replacement ever come before the Airport Authority Board for approval again, with limits being so low? So that has been elevated thanks to the championing by Representative Taggart. That will go before the Transportation Committee today. I wanted to share with commissioners that I intend to testify in support of that and wanted to check with you to see if you had any concerns about that. No? Okay. So that's something where it's been the four airport authorities, it's unanimous. Colorado Airport that Colorado Airport Operating Association voted in support of that with a letter of support, as did the Colorado Aeronautical Board. Met with Airlines for America yesterday, the airline industry trade group, to talk through their concerns. They are not going to take a formal position, but have expressed, you know, more behind-the-scenes support that this, they have to look out for these types of things, and airports pulling fast ones, this is not that, and so really excited. What that means for the airport, should this go through and be passed, we'll come back to commissioners with our governance documents to kind of crosswalk that statute and, you know, what in our governance that you have control over, what came directly from that statute, right? And so what is that new flexibility you have if you want to make changes? We won't be shy if we have recommendations, but that will be the last step. And I don't think that will happen until, you know, months down the line should it be approved. But wanted to give you an update. Also wanted to mention one that you may see in the news. In the state of Colorado, it is not a criminal offense to point lasers at pilots. It's a federal offense, but it's not a state offense, and so it's pretty complicated actually to pursue legal action when you do have those laser strikes. It's a big deal. It's something that the Colorado Airport Operators Association, of which Dylan is on the board, they're very passionately pursuing. It's a bit of an uphill battle in this legislative session because this is not let's increase consequences for criminal offenses. That is not theme in this current administration, but nevertheless something that's being pursued, and you may see. So I wanted to let you know that that's something that the airports are very tuned into and supportive of. So.
Who's sponsoring that one?
I don't remember who was sponsoring.
That's okay. I just wanted
not
to
us. No. I mean, not our district.
Lumen is really pushing that.
Okay, good.
And then there's another one that Lindy has been instrumental in, and that is really to increase helicopter resources for search and rescue operations in the state. So we have just provided help and support in any way we can as an airport and as kind of the aviation subject matter experts within our community, because this directly impacts our community, as there's a company who has historically and is still willing to provide helicopter support for search and rescue, but the insurance environment, liability environment, is one where they need to have some protections that they don't currently have. So, did you want to provide any?
Taggart is sponsoring that one.
Okay. Good.
His bill. And it should be right across the desk today or tomorrow.
Great. So, well, we could have used a helicopter a couple days ago for a couple guys on snow bikes up there on Grove Creek. So
yeah.
Hopefully that passes.
Yeah, right now they're all doing search and rescue by foot, right? And volunteers are hard to come by.
Snow machines or snowshoes or something.
Yeah. It'd be great.
Last, wanted to just give the board an update on the Colo Trust. So we were able to enroll in Colo Trust within a couple of days after you approved our membership application in January. In less than a month, we've generated about $54,000 in interest income, which is almost as much as we generated all of last year. So we worked with Clay and Tom on, as you know, there's two different funds. Virtually all of our investment is in the most conservative fund, which doesn't have any commercial paper. Still, that rate of return has been well over 4%. And so, and we have about $16 million sitting in it. So just wanted to report out to you all that, hey, that money is being put to work. It's paid off already. And it's also a program that Travis is familiar with in his role in Palisade. seamless transition. He and Shayla have been working through logistics on, you know, how to manage the balances in our bank accounts with that, but just want you to know that that one I think you can just consider as done and successful. This year we will put together a cash management policy that will include that investment, that smaller investment policy. Some organizations have an investment policy. We're very restricted in what we can invest anyway. So we think a cash management policy is most appropriate that defines clearly the investment options available, but actually more just sets parameters on how much we'll hold in our checking versus some of these other investment accounts.
Thank you for being timely with all that. Anything for Angela on her report? Well then. All right, Travis, your first day on the stage.
First day, well, thank you for having me. Yeah, Drink from Fire Island, it's been my first month here. Thank you to all the staff and all of you for being so welcoming. Fortunately, I have great news to report. Our financial position is very strong. I took over a very well-built ship, so it's great. Let's start off with, I just want to walk through individual payments. We have $304,000 to meet and high. And that's the only payment we've had over $100,000. I looked at the month-over-month balance sheet ending in December. I have not, I'm not presenting January financials at this meeting. I'm still working on the data and getting my feet underneath me. So I will present those next meeting after I'm more comfortable with the data. But looking at December, overall, a very healthy picture. We did have a slight decrease in cash, but that was due to AIP construction progressing, and that's a temporary decrease. We've already got reimbursed for a lot of that. Our cash balance has increased in the last few days. So everything's very positive. Our liabilities have gone down, so we're paying our bills, and our cash is in a good spot. This is kind of an interesting thing and really worth noting. We did have a decrease in passenger traffic in 2022, yet our non-airline revenue or non-aeronautic revenue actually increased. So a lot of that was due to parking revenue and rental car revenue demand and changes in their fees. So very positive and is indicative of us doing the right thing operationally. So I'm happy to see that. When we look at kind of our change in net position and looking at how 2022 ended, our operating revenues were up, our operating expenses were down when compared to the 2022 forecast. So we had a forecast variance of $1 million, and that really was driven by cost savings across the board in all operational areas, specifically around some salaries and benefits stuff for savings there, and that was due to vacancies. And then operating revenues was really driven by the parking and rental car revenues. We had also a variance in the operational expenditures that was driven by reimbursement through the park grant, which is over $3 million. So that's fantastic for our cash flow. And that's really all I have. I'm happy to address any questions you may have.
What have we heard from the restaurant since they made their changes? It looks like they made up their annual,
yep.
Even though they were down.
They are doing fantastic. So, we had a goal of seeing no decrease on an annual basis, no decrease in revenue per employment from our food and beverage concession. Mm-hmm. And we blew that out of the water. So consistently that per employment number has grown since they've opened, which is exactly what we want to see because they're getting more efficient, faster, they've, it's working really well. They're back to really being connected to the bar, where you can order food at the bar and they'll run the food up.
Cool.
That was kind of the last, that was the last thing that they could add back, because just from a staffing perspective, that one, you know, requires people running. Actually, I think, did you guys order food and then have them delivered today?
Well, we didn't mean to have them delivered.
Well, I'm glad they, but how did it work? Sorry to put you on the spot, but like when I saw that, it's like, oh, that is a symptom of them running so well. That's exactly what I see. During diversions, it's just amazing how much food from that restaurant is coming downstairs to go with people onto the buses and things, and they've reopened the Landside Coffee Shop during periods that are busy, and so it's working really, really well. And I want to make sure I point out, I mean, it's a big deal that our net operating income was over $2 million. That is huge for us. And from a budget perspective, and to remind you, budget philosophy, I know different organizations operate in different ways, but our goal is to budget very conservatively when it comes to the revenue side, because we want to make sure that we can achieve those revenues to cover those costs should we fully spend down those costs. Now, on the expense side, we don't try to be way under budget. That is a mistake for a number of reasons, but we do budget conservatively on the expense side, which means we do expect to come in just under. So this is what we hope to see.
It's unusual for any business to get these kind of reimbursements from the federal government, and boy, that's a shot in the arm process. So thank you for being timely and getting those requests in for reimbursement. And I guess, Travis, that's the big deal, is you're getting your feet wet and slash comfortable with it. This airport runs off of grants, and getting those submitted and reimbursed is our cash flow opportunity to be timely with that process. And hopefully you're feeling more comfortable with that as the months go forward.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I definitely am. And we've already submitted some reimbursement for AIP projects and gotten that cash in the door. We're in a really good position. I intend to continue that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for Travis?
All right. Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Colin, you're back on board again with the capital improvement plan.
We did all the hard part, so hopefully this will be pretty quick. Click one more time. We're anticipating two bid packages to come out this spring, so we'll bring all of that forward. So you're not quite off the hook yet. We've still got a busy spring in front of us. The first is the next earthwork package. That's highlighted with Schedule 5 and the one below it, also 6 and 7. We're working with the FAA to figure out exactly what that looks like in the timing as well. We've got a placeholder for April, but again, we're in close coordination with them to kind of iron out the details of what makes sense. The FAA NAVAID pack relocation package, that likely will be April. We're working with our partners in that group to finalize that as well. So these dates aren't definite, I guess, to move on beyond that, because we're in pretty direct coordination with both those groups trying to iron that out. But those are both things that could come sooner rather than later. So April, May time frame for bids, likely May, June, July time frame for grant award. The other one we discussed earlier is the pavement design. We'll be bringing a scope to you in the next month or two for consideration. We have requested a grant for that. We put that date as June 2023. We think this will get a little bit in front of when the grant award comes. That's not new to this group, but hopefully we're almost past that. Any questions on the runway program before we move on? And then airfield landside projects. We've covered the major items, the runway and parking lots, runway 42 and the parking lots. We'll probably lose this table for that work moving forward and have a brief update as we get into actual construction dates and timelines once we get that contract executed and get more definitive dates nailed down. That's it. Any questions?
Commissioners, would you like to see anything else on these tables? It's pretty high level. Should we put grant awarded for construction, maybe the dollar amount in those, so we track that, or is that sufficient?
You let me know what helps inform you guys the best.
Just maybe a different color for board action items, because all of these won't be board action items.
Yep.
Just so I can kind of like.
Yep. That makes sense.
Thank you. unless they all will be board action items, and in that case, ignore my, I just don't think they will be. I don't think I'll be designing anything.
Nope, the, like, the pricing for a ward, for example, isn't a board action item, so, yeah, that makes sense.
That's a good point. I think just from being an ambassador from the airport, as commissioners are, and to kind of stay refreshed on what level of economic stimulus is going on through these projects, we might go ahead and put dollar amounts in there so people can be reflective of that and say, this is a significant driver for materials and labor through these projects.
And on that note, Tom, you know, as reflected in our budget, what we have planned for this year is $40 million worth of construction. Because I think something that gets really confusing is we have these grants awarded, but then when does the work happen? And it's something in our world, we have to work really hard to make sure we're talking about the same thing. The funding timing and the construction timing and the expense timing are not the same. So for me, I think it's been so helpful as I think about this year that we're planning $40 million worth of construction.
Yeah.
That's not grants being awarded and things like $40 million worth of construction. About $5 million of that is airport investment because we do have some airport-funded projects like the parking lot and things like that. But it's huge. It's the biggest construction year that we've had. I don't think we have any other construction year like that on record. So.
Yeah, go back to like 1984 when we built the terminal. I mean, it's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and even then, did you spend $40 million in 1 year?
No.
I'm not sure.
It was like 12.
I don't know. I wasn't tuned in at that.
Yeah.
I hate that I didn't get, you asked for some basically fun facts a few meetings ago, and I got scooped. The newspaper picked it up before I could get
it. Oh, but I loved it. I'm in.
Yeah,
I love all the fun facts I can get. I think you guys answered that in a board meeting, a workshop before that went to the paper.
Okay.
That's where, like, when you're thinking through, like, oh, I wonder what this is as it relates to the runway, you can, like, give us reverse, like, you can give us fun riddles to fill in the blanks for, for the engineers.
I love it.
So, how many times can you fill the CMU swimming pool?
How many football stadiums is the go-to?
Well, you did get some good press, both in the Daily Sentinel and the Business Times. I noticed both those articles were nicely recapped. So.
And Angela was a guest at the Initiate conference talking about media and PR training, and I got to share some really cool facts with all the attendees about the airport. And so just kudos to you for that. Some of those fun facts.
Yeah. Colin, we're not going to let you off the hook. You have to bring fun facts for Lindy on a periodic basis.
I'll spend every fun fact.
She'll be creative. You'll fill in the blanks.
I've got $40 million right now for a while. That'll be
right.
Yeah.
Good deal. Anything else? Okay. Move on. Any other business that commissioners wish to bring before the board today? Nothing? Okay, very good. Been a very robust morning.
Yeah.
Let's take a 2-minute break or 3-minute break, and then we'll have a motion. Actually, let's do a motion to go into executive session, take the break, and then come back. How's that? That way gives everybody a chance to do their other things that are part of the audience here. entertain a motion. If somebody would read A, that would be good. And your motion.
I move to go into executive session.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Okay.
Except there, either way.
I move to go into executive session for the purpose of considering personnel matters as authorized by Colorado Revised Statute Section 24-6-402-4F, specifically including the executive director's annual review